So my name is Catriona Fallon and I live in Menard East, just near Lisbowl in West Kerry.
You're on a bit of a, adaptation plan as such.
We are indeed, yeah. So I'm part of what's called Transition Kerry, a wonderful organisation that I joined just a few years ago, but it's been in existence since 2007. A lot of people would be very familiar with the work that they do, but it's really focused around, you know, the fact that our climate is changing. They also look very much at how nature is struggling. So biodiversity loss is an expression you often hear. And Transition Kerry ran a course a number of years ago on climate and biodiversity, kind of a leadership program, supporting people to understand more about what was happening, and a very interactive, very engaged project it was. And I actually took part in that and really, really enjoyed it. So I suppose that ran into the whole COVID pandemic, and it ended up running over about 3 years in the end. And it was a great group of people that got involved. But we felt, you know, what's the next step? Where can we work with communities? What do communities need maybe to continue to thrive, given this whole idea of this changing climate that we're all struggling with? And we thought this whole idea of adaptation, which is a kind of a big word and sounds a bit daunting, but really what it means is, how can we build a kind of resilience in communities in Kerry to cope with what's happening? And, you know, we're trying to take in a really positive way, that the more agency we have, the more we're prepared for things that change, the less anxiety causing that will be, the less overwhelming it'll be. So that focus of resilience, that's the word that keeps coming up over and over again with myself and Niamh Ní Gual and Mary Kiernan are the three people who are kind of behind this particular element of the project. So for both of them, for all of us, resilience is the key word. So the way the project is going to work, so we tendered for this project. It's a Northeast West Kerry development project, and they're doing it in partnership with us. So this is kind of ideal for the plans that we had. And it's a little bit of a complicated idea in ways. It's great to have an opportunity to explain it. So it's called a Community Climate Adaptation Programme. And we're drawing very heavily on the experiences of a great organisation in Scotland called Adaptation Scotland. And they created a community climate adaptation route map a few years ago, maybe about 3 years ago. Really inventive, clear, easy to understand. I'm going to say the word toolkit. It is an online resource. You know, sometimes you get weary of online resources, but it was what inspired us. And they worked with a lot of communities across Scotland to identify what were the things and the issues and the challenges that communities, you know, very similar to Ireland, a lot of coastline, a lot of kind of, you know, uplands and so on, and also cities. But what were the challenges that their communities were facing, and what did they need to give them a sort of a power, capacity to deal with those challenges? So we just thought that was a really interesting approach when we put in our tender for this programme. So that's kind of what we've been following. And the reason it's a little bit complicated is that the initial part of it goes over roughly a year and a half, 2 years. The initial part of it is that we would have about 25, you know, hopefully have 25 people who would sign up to do. It's kind of like a training program, but it's a very interactive training program. So part of it will be to you know, pass on some of the information that we have. We'll also be have experts from outside, a couple of people from the organisation that runs Adaptation Scotland, for example, to come and talk to the group that we'll be dealing with. But it'll also be drawing from them, their own experiences, their understanding of how the climate is changing, what are the ways that we can adapt, or how can we build up skills and be prepared, basically, for the changes that are ahead. So that's the first part. And the second part then, there was a bit of a gap over the summer that runs kind of until the end of May. It's roughly a day and a half, a day and a quarter per month. And then the second part of it is that we would work then with those leaders that once they've completed the course to go out into their own communities. And maybe they might, some people who are looking to take part might be already part of community groups, maybe tidy towns groups, local development groups, community councils, and that we would support them to go out to their own communities and, you know, do a series of workshops again with those other groups, and really there's a lot of talk in the whole area of adaptation about place-based solutions, because each area, even each small area, has different vulnerabilities to climate than another. So where I live, for example, here in Menard, we're very near the sea, but we're at quite a height. So we're not really in danger of being flooded directly where I'm living. But there's a road that runs at the bottom of the hill, and that is regularly inundated with stones and so on, and becomes impassable. So you can see how in my instance, my situation, that particular road, that area that gets regularly blocked, that would be an issue for us as a small community. So those are the kind of things. Those are the immediate. And then we'd be looking at kind of more medium term things, such as, you know, where does our, how is our food going to change? What crops are going to do well in a changing climate? What crops might struggle and so on? So the whole, it filters into everything, every part of our life, really.
Yeah. How so there is adapt? Something for everyone, basically.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So tell me, you say it would be great for communities such as like Tidy Towns and local representatives. And I suppose it's kind of getting away from that anxiety of thinking, OK, I actually don't know what I'm getting in for. So why should they come forward and actually just try it out and see what happens?
Yeah, I think it's you know, a lot of people find the whole topic of climate change very depressing, very overwhelming. Some people don't want to have to deal with it at all, which is totally understandable. But I also think we feel that we can't really play a role, that it's for state agencies and governments and so on to take all of that action. And I think we have a really important role to play as individuals and as communities. So as I say, each of those, it will be quite specific to each community. So every community, if we sit down and think about what ways are we vulnerable? For example, again, in West Kerry, we're at the end of a very long, you know, in terms of getting food out to supermarkets and so on in West Kerry. If there is an issue with roads being blocked and so on, that's something that's going to crop up for people that are living in very isolated. The further away you are from a town, the more at risk you're going to feel from, for example, after storms and maybe when roads are blocked and so on. But we might also feel vulnerable if there was, you know, if there was a difficulty in wheat growing areas, for example, of the world. That might mean that wheat is going to get more expensive. And how can we counter that? Is there anything that we can do? Is there anything that we can address? Are there different trees, for example, that will grow better in that changing climate and that will help us? And just maybe to give the example of trees is an interesting example, because it's so easy to confuse the idea of, you know, mitigation, which really means taking greenhouse gases out of the atmosphere. We refer to that as mitigation. And adaptation, which means that the ways that we can change because we know that the climate has changed. So how can we adapt? So they both happen at the same time. You know, you don't say, right, we're not going to do anything about the greenhouse gases. You know, it's not our problem, but we'll adapt. But no, we want to do both. We want to try and reduce the emissions in the atmosphere, because that will start to reduce the amount of global warming. And at the same time, we want to adapt to the changes that have happened. So I'm running away with myself, but basically when you look at trees and planting trees, something that's happening all over the county, trees do both, because trees will absorb carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. So they help with that whole mitigation, taking CO2 out of the atmosphere. But at the same time, they can soak up water in areas that get a lot of heavy rain. Alder trees would be very good for that, for example. And they also provide shade and shelter to humans and animals. So that's an example of something that does both. And we'll be looking at that, the crossover between reducing emissions and adapting to what has happened already.
And it's so simple to just plant a tree as well, isn't it?
It is indeed, yeah. They always say the right tree in the right place, I suppose that's the main thing. But absolutely. And certainly in West Kerry, we don't have a huge amount of trees, and I know we've got a very challenging climate out here, but even here there have been a lot of really good initiatives locally planting trees, a lot of farmers planting trees, and farmers of course have a key role to play, and a lot of them are really involved in, and farmers are a very good example maybe of adaptation, because they have probably had to face more direct challenging changes than any other part of society, so they are the ones in a sense that are dealing with this kind of at the front line, the coal face. So it would be lovely to get a few farmers involved in this project. I think we might have one, but it would be great to get a few more, because they're great fixers. They're great for coming up with solutions, which is really what we need. So we'd encourage farmers to try and get involved in it. Though it's a busy time of the year. That's the problem for them. They're calving, they're lambing, But it'd be great to get one or two involved.
Mm-hmm. And as you say, it's only a day and a bit, isn't it?
That's it. The plan at the moment, and we're going to be very flexible with what people need and what works best for people, would be that we have one day a week, probably a Saturday. The work, the consultation we've done so far would seem to indicate that Saturdays are the best. One Saturday a month, and then one evening, not a Friday. We've got feedback that Friday would not, and Friday's kind of precious to people. So probably Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, we'll see what works best. And then there would be maybe one or two field trips as part of that, and one or two other events. But it's not a huge commitment, but we're very conscious that people are very busy and people have families and jobs and so on. But the people who came to the event we ran in the Tralee Bay wetlands last Saturday, there was a great sense that people got a lot out of that. That coming together, you know, so much of our life is online, and we're also under pressure, that just to get a bit of space, which is really one of the other key elements of this project, giving people time to come together and talk about their experiences, everybody comes out feeling more hopeful. Mm. You're not there by yourself, fretting and worrying about what might happen. You feel you're doing something positive, you're doing something constructive, and you're doing it with other people. So I think that's a key. And anybody who did the previous course would say that. That was one of the key elements, the key benefits of doing the course.
So if people want to take part, how can they do so, and when does it start?
So Transition Kerry obviously has its own website, but because this is a North East West Kerry development project, it has its own website, which is Adaptation Kerry. It's a bit of a mouthful. Adaptation Kerry, full stop, Transition Kerry, full stop, org. So that is website address, Adaptation Kerry at transitionkerry.org. So Adaptation Kerry at transitionkerry.org. So if we're going to run one more sort of taster workshops, what we've been calling them, just to give people a sense of it, on the 31st of January in Tralee Bay Wetlands. You do have to sign up for that. We just need a minimum amount of numbers. So again, the email address is adaptationkerry@transitionkerry.org. You email us there, and we can give you more information about the course. We can also register you, sign you up for the taster session. And then there's a form for people who want to actually sign up to the programme. We'd send you out a form for completion. There's a lot of information on the website, the address that I just gave you there. And maybe just to repeat that, it's Adaptation Kerry, full stop, transitionkerry.org. So there's loads of information on that if people want to get involved.
Yeah, for sure. And as I say, people with their questions and even maybe their concerns or anything like that, if they go to the workshop, they'll be able to address those on the day as well.
Absolutely. And if anybody wants us to call them back, if anybody, you know, just email us and say, look, I'd really like to talk to somebody, because there's so much of, you know, you want these days, if you want to talk to somebody, to actually be able to pick up a phone and call them, it's very unusual. But we'd encourage people, send us an email and we'll ring you back and answer any queries that you have, because we do, we're aware that it might sound a little bit complicated. But as I say, the feedback from the event we ran last Saturday was really positive. The course is free, of course, thanks to the funding from LEADER and NEWKD, obviously, it's their course. And just to say that the people who complete the course and work as the kind of leaders in their community, they will be paid a fee for that time that they go out. So we've set aside money in the budget because we don't want anybody to be out of pocket. So there's a small fee for that as well.
Okay, well, hopefully we'll get a few people there now next Saturday and see how it goes, but it's been fantastic so far, and I'd like to see where it goes now in the next couple of months.
We'll keep you posted, Kaya. So maybe when we're halfway through the actual delivery of the programme itself, maybe April, we might have another chat, and maybe you might have a chat with one of the people taking part. That might be interesting.
I think that'd be
great, rather than hearing from me.
Well, Katrina,
and maybe just to say that obviously all the steering committee of Transition Kerry are very involved in this project, but as I say, it's not just me. It's Mary Kiernan and Niamh Ní Gual, who are they're long-standing members of Transition Kerry. So you're hearing my voice, but that voice represents quite a group of people.
Lovely. Well, Katrina, thank you so much for your time.
You're very welcome.